Today's daf is Bava Metzia daf Kuf Aleph. We are at the Mishnah, seven lines from the bottom of daf Kuf Amid Beis. Today's daf is being learned as a schos for Achinu Bnei Yisrael Hanasuna Batzara Vashivya. Today's daf is also being learned for Ilui Nishmas Bela Bas Moshe Menachem. So yesterday we learned the very epic Bava Metzia daf Kuf, which discussed halachos where the hachra of Chazal was yachloiku hamachlev par bechamor viyolda hamoicha shivchase viyolda ze oimer Chazal said yachloiku hayu loy beis avadim echad gadol echad katan beis sadois achas gedoyla v'achas ketana. In the event that the buyer and the seller are both any idea whether the transaction happened with the gadol, the katan, the gedoyla, the ketana, the halacha was yachloiku. The Mishnah now is going to continue and discuss other areas where there's a he said in halacha, where Chazal said that the way we treat this is by saying yachloiku. Zok tehilge Mishnah. Az moicher zeis of le'etzim. If somebody sells an olive tree that he has inside his field to somebody else, but the reason that he sold it to him was le'etzim. Rashi says that the buyer had agreed to cut the olive tree down and use the wood, lesreifa, as firewood. Either way, the buyer stalled a little bit. He didn't cut down these trees right away. In the meantime, olives grew, which produced oil, and there was a little bit of a debate and a dispute between the buyer and the seller, who's entitled to these olives. Says the Mishnah, in the event that the olives that grew were inferior olives, how inferior? They only produced less than a revius halug of oil for every saw of zeisim. Harei elu shabal hazeisim, the halach is the bal hazeisim is allowed to keep it. Also revius lasaw, in the event that the olives that grew were not such bad olives, but rather they were better olives, and they were able to produce more oil. In fact, every saw was able to produce at the very least a revius. In that event, if the Bala Zayis says that I feel that I'm entitled to this oil, and the reason is because my Zaysim that I purchased from you produced the oil. And the owner of the field says, I understand that they're your Zaysim, but they attained their nourishment from my field. Yachloiku says the Mishnah, the Loch is going to be Yachloiku. So this is another case where Ze oimer, veze oimer. In this case, ze oimer zeisi gidlu, veze oimer artsi gidlo. The halacha is yachloiku. The Gemara is going to get into some of the nuance in the case, and Bezus Hashem, in a few minutes, hopefully, we'll have a better understanding of what this all means. Another case where it's a ze oimer, veze oimer, and the halacha is yachloiku. Shotaf nohar zeisa. If somebody had a field, and in the field he had olives that were growing, and the nohar came, and it took the zeisim of his field, it dumped him into another field. And right now, they're in another person's field. And they're growing in that person's field, as we're going to see in the Gemara. If the owner of the zeisim comes and he says that I feel that I'm entitled to anything that grows now from the zayis, and the reason is because it was my zayis. Now, why is it in your field? Shatuf nar. It was an act of God. It was something that was out of my control. But at the same time, they're my zeisim. I believe I should be entitled to any payers that come from it. And the owner of the field claims that no, at the end of the day, they're growing in my field, and if they're growing in my field, I should be entitled to it. So what's the halacha here too? Yachloiku. The halacha is going to be a yachloiku. So again, why are we learning a Mishnah about zeisim and fields? It's because you have a ze oimer, you have a ze oimer, and the halacha is yachloiku. Now, one thing the Rishonim speak out right away, that in the previous Mishnah, where we had a halacha of yachloiku, machlo par v'chamar, etc., the Gemara said, Hamani sumchesi, who holds momen amulta besafik, cholkem b'lo yishvua. The reason the halacha was yachloiku is because we have a safik. We don't know what to do. Momen amutal b'safik cholkin. In fact, according to the Chachamim that holds that cloud gadol b'din amoytzim mechaveri olav raya, the halacha would not be yachloiku. This Mishnah is different. In this Mishnah, the reason the halacha is yachloiku is not because it's a safik. Ze oimer, it's my zeisim. Ze oimer, it's my field. I have no idea who's right. We have no ability of figuring out what the emes is. It's a drora de mamoina, etc., etc. Hamani sumchesi, who holds mom and amut the besafik cholkim b'loshvot. That's not the pshan of the Mishnah. Say the Rishonim. But rather, the pshan of the Mishnah is to the contrary. Each person has a legitimate claim, and if each person has a legitimate claim, so you have two people that have a schus. What are you supposed to do? So you split it. You make a yachloiku, but it's not a yachloiku because I have no idea what's flying. It's a yachloiku because I have two people that have an equally bona fide legitimate claim to the peiris that came out of this zayis, and as a result, if two people have a fartig eschus and azach, so by definition, like two people that are coming to yarshin their father, what do? Yachloiku. Why? Because we have a suffix? No, because each person has a schus, and as a result, what do? You give each one half. That's the only way to reconcile it. That's the pshara. That is the pshat in this yachloiku of our Mishnah. Either way. So what was the first halach of the Mishnah? The Reisha. Somebody had zeisim in his field. He sold the zeisim. Again, he sold the olive tree. The reason he sold the olive tree was very clear. Le'etzim. Now the buyer kept the etzim. He kept the zeisim inside the field of the seller. And it produced olives. The question is, who's entitled to the olives? So the Mishnah comes up with a formula, which at first glance sounds a little bit like Sisrei Torah. In the event that the olives that grew were inferior olives, which by the way makes sense, because what happened? This person sold the zeisim le'etzim. Why would you sell le'etzim? You're destroying it. And by the way, not only why would you, it's actually usher. There's an issa about tashchitz. It's a lois asay in the Torah. So it makes a lot of sense that these were not good zeisim. And as a result, the understanding was that they were going to produce peiris that weren't such good peiris. If kachava, that's exactly the way it played itself out. And what's the definition of bad zeisim? Where a saw of the zeisim can't even produce a revius haloik of shemen. So then the halach is it belongs entirely to the bal hazeisim. It belongs entirely to the purchaser. If, however, it produces at least a revius halog of shemen per saw of zeisim, then the halacha is each one has a legitimate claim, and it's for that reason the halacha is yachloik. But the Gemara says, hey, chidami, I don't understand why it's even totally in a formula. So the Gemara is not questioning the specifics of the formula. That probably is something you would have to consult with a farmer with to have a better understanding of. You had to be there, right? But the question is, why is it even totally in a formula? And l'chura m'manav shach idam alei koitz la'alt, if the seller told the buyer that I want you to cut it immediately, afilu pachas mirvius nami l'balakarka, that even if it produces less than mirvius, it should belong to the balakarka. That is an interesting machlokes rishonim, what the Gemara means. When it says pachas mirvius, it should belong to the balakarka. Some rishonim say that what it means is the balakarka should get everything. That's what the Rambam says in Yad Chazaka. He is someone that should be entitled to everything. Other Rishonim say that the Gemara's argument is that at the very least he should be entitled to the Yachloiku, meaning the same Yachloiku that he gets. If it produces a Revius Halog, he should get even if it produces less than a Revius Halog. But the Gemara's kasha is that if the seller told the buyer that I want you to cut it immediately, then what do you mean you're going to start profiting off something that really you aren't even allowed to do? And either Amalei Kolei Mr. Boy's Kites. And if the seller told the buyer, I understand you're buying it because you want to cut it, but you'll cut it when you get around to it. Lav Dafka, you're going to cut it right now. If that's what he told him, I feel the Revius Nami the Baal Zeisim. So then it should be his. I understand. They're his Zeisim. At the end of the day, he bought it. L'chura, he has all the rights to it. It's true. He bought it for the Eitzim, okay, but right now it's producing Zeisim. As if he violated the terms of the agreement, Beseder. But if he didn't violate the terms of the agreement, then he should get everything. So really, it should be Tolian, not whether they were good Zeisim or bad Zeisim. What it should be Tolian is what the Upmach was. If the Upmach was, cut it right away, it should belong entirely to the Balakarko. At the very least, he should always be entitled to something. And if he told him that you can cut it whenever you want to cut it, so then the halacha should be that the Bala Zeisim should always be entitled to it. So the Gemara says, you have to say the Amalei Stam. It's talking about, we told him Stam. He didn't make any arrangement with him, meaning the understanding was that he was Moicha Zeisov Le'etzim, but they never had a mefurish discussion about when this person needs to cut these Zeisim. Okay, Bachas Mirvius, if it ends up producing less than a Revius, like Kapti Inchi, we assume that the seller is not Makbid on it. It's just so inferior, it's so little oil, it's probably not something that he cares too much about, and because he doesn't care so much about it, he's probably moichel, and there's probably some vitur in this transaction, where if you don't cut it right away and it produces this amount of oil, you're going to be allowed to keep it. Revius, however, kapti inchi. If it's revius, that's already a more chash of the shear, and being that it's a more chash of the shear, the assumption is that he said, listen, you want to buy the eitzim, no problem. You can get the Eitzim, and if you want to cut it right away, it's going to be all yours. But if you stall a little bit and it ends up producing a revius per saw, that's something that I already want to have. So it's really, again, based on what the das of sellers are, appreciating olive trees and an agricultural world that we don't really live in. But the point is, with this oikimta, at least Chazal said, it makes perfect sense, the halach of the Mishnah. Amr Shimon ben Pazi. Shimon ben Pazi had one postscript to the Reish of the Mishnah, and that is, b'revi'ish amru chut min ha-hoitzom. When we talk about a revi'ish, it means not that the olives produced gross a revi'ish, but rather net a revi'ish. Meaning you have to deduct all the expenses that you might have in the production of zeisim and in the production of oil. And if at the end you're going to be left with a revi'ish per saw of zeisim, it's then that this halacha is going to be in effect. Either way, we turn our attention from the Reish of the Mishnah to the Seifa of the Mishnah. The Seifa also talked about zeisim, but a very different case. The case was where somebody has a field, and in his field he has olive trees, and shut up nor zeisim. All of a sudden, a river came, and it uprooted the zeisim from the field that it was in, the nostam l'toich sadech haveira, and it dumped it into somebody else's field. Zeh oimer zeisa gidlo, vzeh oimer artsi gidlo. The halach is yachloiku, that the original owner of the zeisim and the person who owns the field where the zeisim are currently are going to divide anything that's going to be produced mikanu lahaba from this zayis tree. Now, as an introduction to the next part of the daf, the Gemara is going to talk a little bit about the laws of arla. So what's arla in Eretz Yisrael? The halach is that you're not allowed to eat from the peiros that a tree produces during the first 3 years of its life. From year four and on, you're allowed to eat it. Year four itself is a little bit tricky. It's what's known as neter ravoy, or if it's a vineyard, it's known as kerem ravoy, where the halacha is that you're allowed to eat from the peiros. However, it has kedusha, similar to kedushas ma'aseh sheni, which means you have to eat it dafka in Yerushalayim. If you want to eat it outside of Yerushalayim, you have to be poided outside Yerushalayim, take the money, and use the money to buy food in Yerushalayim proper. One halacha that we need to know as it relates to arla is that what happens if you have a tree that's been growing 2 years already, and then you pull the tree out of the ground and you replant it somewhere else? So does the meter start ticking again? Or do you take with you the 2 years that it already grew so that when you plant it now, it's already holding in year three? So it depends on whether or not when you uprooted the tree and replanted it, did you do it together with the gush, together with the roots, together with the dirt that's surrounding the actual tree or not? So if you take a tree out, bigusheyen, together with the roots of the tree, so then the halacha is that when you replant it, we don't look at it as a new gidol, but we look at it as an extension of the previous gidol. If, however, you take the tree out without gusheyem, then vayomim arishonim yiplu, you lose all the original days and the original years, and then the halach is, you start counting fin onfang. Either way, says the Gemara with that introduction. Shataf nohar zeisav, v'noslam l'toich sadech haveray, what was the halacha? So Ula said in the name of Reish Lakish, Loishanu, the only time this was said is Elisha Nekru Begushayim. Number one, if this Zayis that was uprooted together with its gush, Ula Achashalish, and not just that, 3 years passed. Rashi says, 3 years passed from when the story happened. Interesting. So the story happened, and now 3 years after this whole Maisa Shahaya Kachaya happened, they come to Bezdin, Zeh Oimer, that's when the halacha is going to be Achloiku. Abba B'toich Sholosh. If, however, it's within 3 years, HaKol Shabal HaZeisim, the halacha is, it's going to belong entirely to the Baal HaZeisim. So the only time the halacha is Achloiku is if, number one, it was uprooted Bigusheyen, and number two, from the time that it was Nostam L'toich Sadech HaVeiroi, 3 years already passed. If, however, one of those two boxes are not checked off, then the halacha is HaKoyl Shabal HaZeisim. Now, to be clear, Tosfos speaks out, Taf Tosfos on the Yomid, that when Ula said the name of Reish Lakish, that the Mishnah is talking about Loishanu Elisha Nekru B'Gusheyen, he's not saying that from the Chosh Mishpat perspective, which is really what the Hemshech of the Gemara is going to be talking about. But rather, he's talking about from the Arla perspective. Because if it was uprooted B'Loi Gusheyen, nobody could eat these Zeisim anyways for the next 3 years. So it's sort of a moot point. It's Yisuri Ano, there's no Bailam on it, etc., etc. But the point is that K'muvin, it would have had to have been Nekra B'Gusheim, because otherwise you're dealing with an Elon that's a Bash Nasa, where anyways, there's no point in this whole discussion that we're about to have. But the Ikur Nekuda from the Chesh Mishpat, from the Yachloiku, from the Bava Mitziah, from the Perek HaShoyel perspective, is that it's talking about 3 years already passed. Being that 3 years already passed, that's when the Allah is the Yachloiku. He explained. But if it's within 3 years, everything belongs to the Baal HaZesim. And the reason everything belongs to the Baal HaZesim is very pashut. The Amalek, the Baal HaZesim, is going to tell the Baal HaKarki, at not he says, I understand. Why do you think you should have a claim to these Zaysim? Because it's in your land. If you would have planted right now in your land, what would have been the halacha? The halacha, you'd get nothing. It would have been our law. Now, after 3 years, oh, no problem. I'm happy to give you after 3 years. But right now, you would have gotten nothing. The only reason you're getting is because it came together with my gushayin. And being that it came together with my gushayin, so it's all in my schos. Just explain a little bit better. The Mishnah said that what's the zeh oimer, the zeh oimer in this case? Zeh oimer, it's my zeisim. The zeh oimer, it's my land. The Baal HaZesim is going to tell him, Chochem, it's my Zesim and it's my land. V'haraya, because if it was your land, we wouldn't be eating it. The Teretz says it came with my Gushayim. So it's Zesi, number one, and it's Arzi, number two. So he has both Tainas. So Ula said in the name of Rish Lakish, the only time this halacha is going to be true is when 3 years pass. Once 3 years pass, so now it's ready a different geshef. Because now, if the person would have planted, and 3 years would have passed, now already he would have been able to eat. So then he has a claim, and it's for that reason that then the halacha is going to be achloiku. But up until that point, the halacha is not going to be achloiku. But the Gemara says, v'lei malei, why doesn't the owner of the field tell the Baal HaZesim, yano nati, if I would have planted, la'acha sholish havachil melei kule, then after 3 years, I would have been entitled to everything. Hashto ka'ochlis palga bahadoi. Now you're taking half of what I'm able to get. Meaning, after 3 years, if the person would have planted by himself, he would have gotten everything. Now, what's the halacha after 3 years? He ends up dividing it together with the Baal HaZesim. That's the halacha of the Mishnah, Yachloiku. The way we have it right now, what Ulu is saying over in the name of Rish Lakish, is that the halacha of the Mishnah is after 3 years. Now, really, if the person would have planted his own Zesim, after 3 years, he would have been entitled to 100%. But he's giving away 50%. So his taina back to the Baal HaZesim is that I think it's only fair that if you're taking 50% of really what should be entirely mine after 3 years, then I should be able to take 50% of maybe what should be entirely yours during the first 3 years. Meaning, it's not like this is so fair, because really, you're taking up good real estate in my field where I could have planted my own zeisim and I could have gotten 100% of the income. I'm giving you 50%. You're my shutif. Why? Because of shutav nor zeisim. Beseder. But I'm giving you something after 3 years. So it's only fair that in exchange I should get something in return. So you're right. Do I have a 100% legitimate schus in the first 3 years? I hear you, Taina. But do you have a 100% schus even in half of after 3 years? I'm not so sure. So as a result, you want a machi achloiku, but I think it's fair that it should be achloiku straight across the board, not only for after 3 years, even for these 3 years. So the Gemara says that this kasha that the Bnei Yeshiva asked on Ulu was such a good kasha that they put Reish Lakish's halacha aside. They said, I don't know, Ulu said, over the name of Reish Lakish halacha, I'm not sure that we fully understand. So the Gemara says, Elik Yosef, Ravin, I'm a Reish Lakish. But when Ravin came from Eretz Yisrael, back to Bavel, and he, you do a report in a lot of different things here in the name of Reish Lakish, he said over Reish Lakish's qualification to the halacha of this Mishnah, and he said it over a little bit differently. In fact, he said it over very differently. He said, Boishan, Ravin, Shenekar B'Gusheyem, the only time the halacha of the Mishnah is true is number one, where it was Nekar B'Gusheyem, and number two, Ubetoich Shalosh. It was Nekar during the 3 years, meaning it's within 3 years, not it was Nekar during the 3 years. It's within the 3 years from when it was replanted besodach kaveroi. And then the halacha is Yach loiku avala achashalosh. But once 3 years pass, hakoyla balakarka, everything is going to belong to the balakarka. Domale, because he could tell him, no natoy la achashalosh mi loy hava achilno lekule. Had I planted, right? You have to put a comma in anonatoy, comma la achashalosh. After 3 years, mi loy hava achilno lekule, I would have been able to eat the whole thing. And being that I would have been able to eat the whole thing, so good. So now I'm entitled to everything. In other words, Robin said the name of the shlok is just the opposite. He said the only time the halacha is yachloiku was taka during those 3 years, where each person has a little bit of a schus. It's my zeisim, it's my land. Without me, says the Baal HaZesim to the Baal HaLand, you would not have anything. But then again, it is in my land, and as a result, there's a mokum to say yachloiku. After 3 years, everything belongs to the owner of the land based on the svar that the Gemara said in the previous lishna of the Gemara. And that is because he could say that if I would have planted now at this point, I would have been entitled to 100% of it. And it's for that reason now I'm going to get 100% of it. Says the Gemara, v'lei malei, but why can't the buyer tell the seller, i'at notach b'toich sholosh lehava achas? Had you been the one that planted it, then for the first 3 years, you wouldn't have been able to eat anything. Hashto ko achlis palgo bahadoi. Now you're eating half of mine. What's his point? You're eating half of something that really you wouldn't have been able to get, which means you're taking from me. So it's only fair that I should be able to take from you. So you're taking half of the first 3 years, even though really you don't have a schos. Why don't you have a schos? Right, that was the first svara. It's based on the fact because it's my zaysim and it's my land. Afal pikein, we're going to say that Allah of the Mishnah says that you're going to get a half where really you're not supposed to get a half. So it's only fair that I take from something that maybe I shouldn't be able to take either. So really after 3 years, you should be entitled to 100% of it. But I should be entitled to 100% now. And if you're taking yachloiku, then you have to be consistent. You should be yachloiku through and through. But the Gemara is doicha this far. The Gemara says, mishum da amalei, it's because the owner of the field could tell the owner of the zeisen, I no natoi. If I would have planted myself, even during the first 3 years, it's true. It's true, I couldn't have eaten from the zeisen. But I'll tell you what I could have done. Havi katini, the branches that would grow from this young budding tree would have been very, very small. And because they would have been very small, so again, we're not farmers, but I would have been able to plant different vegetables in that area. V'zarana techusayu, silka v'yarka, and vegetables are not bound by the laws of Arla, and I would have been able to eat from it. So at the end of the day, it's true. Could I have planted a zayas tree and had oil? Shemin zayas zach? No, that's not something I could have done. But at the same time, I could have done something, and you're getting in my way, and that's why I'm entitled to half of it now, as it relates to after 3 years, in the second lishna of the Gemara, Hikataina, I'm entitled 100% to everything. So what would the two lishanis? The two lishanis, what? The Mishnah says, Shotav nor, zeisa v'nasa matoich sadach haveroi, zeh oimer v'zeh oimer da'aloch es yachloiku. In the first lishna, it's all in the world of Reish Lakish. In the first lishna of Reish Lakish, when did the Mishnah say the salacha? The Mishnah said the salacha only after 3 years. But during the first 3 years, being that the Bala Karka would be bound by the laws of Arla, so everything is coming machmas the Bala Zeisen. It's his Zayas tree, and it's even his land, because it's Bigusheyan, that's the reason that there's no law of Arla right now. So therefore, he's entitled to everything. In the second Lishna of Reish Lakish, in Rabin's version of Reish Lakish, it's just the opposite. The halacha of the Mishnah that says Yachloiku is dafka during the first 3 years, because although it's true, everything is coming right now, machmas, the Baal HaZayis, but what could have, would have, should have been, had the zeisim of the Baal HaZayis not been there, is he would have planted vegetables and he could have had something out of it. And it's for that reason, he has a little bit of a claim, therefore the halacha is Yachloiku. After 3 years, he's entitled to 100% of it. And the reason he's entitled to 100% of it is based on the fact, because now he can say, listen, your zeisim are just causing me hefsid, there's no reason for that. At this point, I could have had my own zayas tree where I was entitled to 100% of the income. Now I have partners, it's eating out of my returns, I'm not happy about this, and therefore the halacha is, in that instance, he'd be entitled to everything. Incidentally, as it relates to the halacha, not that this is ma'isim b'chol yoyim, halacha l'maisa, but k'muvin, the halacha is in the Eloki Yasa Rav and Amar Reish Lakish. Hold that thought for a second. Tana, we learned in a braisa, Amar, halo zeisei ani noito. What happens if the Bala Zeisim says, I want my zeisim back? Now, why would he say, I want my zeisim back? Well, based on what we just said, that Talach is like Rav and Amar Reish Lakish. I'll tell you why he wants his Zeisim back. Because for the first 3 years, it's going to be Achloiku. And after 3 years, he's out of business. Everything belongs to the Baal HaSadeh. So if he says, I want my Zeisim, we don't listen to him. Ain't Shaymim Loi. My time, I'm Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Yishav Eretz Yisrael. Because at Yishav Eretz Yisrael, we don't want people starting to pull Zeisim out of the ground. I'm Rabbi Yirmi, you heard this. He said, Kegoyim Da, Tzricha Rabba. He said, something like this is Tzricha Rabba. So what does it mean, Tzricha Rabba? So Rabbeinu Chananel explains that Tzricha Rabba means you have to be Rabbi Yochanan. You have to be a Rabba. You have to be somebody of the ilk of the great Rabbi Yochanan. Tzricha Rabba of the great Rabbi Yochanan. In order to be able to say such a chiddush. But the bottom line is, what's the chiddush Rabbi Yochanan, by the way? It's a braisa, right? The braisa said, Omer halo zeisei ani noitel ein shoymen loy. It means the tam of Rabbi Yochanan. My taima, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, mishum yishuv eretz Yisrael. I mean, to me, the halacha sounds like the bigger chiddush. The tam almost sounds obvious, but no. Rabbi Yochanan saying that the tam is yishuv eretz Yisrael, and Rabbi Yirmiyahu was very taken aback. By the way, there's a big nafkimina la halacha based on the tam. Because if the time is Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, it's only Negei in Eretz Yisrael. It's not something that's going to be Negei in Chutz Laaretz, which is part of the reason to go ahead and be Derish time of the Braisa with Azazor, Nafki Mina Lalocha. This is only Negei in Eretz Yisrael, but all the Yidden that are living in Pumpadisa and Arda and Sura, they don't have to worry about this. This is Taka a Grace Chiddush. Tosfos speaks out that even though the Gemara said it's a Braisa, Imamah Halah, Zeisei Ani Noitele in Shomil, if he says I want my Zeisei back, we don't give it to him. But at the same time, this is not a free-for-all. And the Baal HaField would have to write a check to the Baal HaZayis, and it would have to reimburse him for whatever the value of the Zaysim are at that point. The point is, you don't have a right to take the actual Zaysim. But Stama Hefkevelt on that level, that you get to keep it, and I'm sorry, ain't Shoymim, I'm closing my ears, I don't hear a word you're saying. No, it doesn't work that way. He says, Avadi, you'd have to reimburse him. It just means you wouldn't have to give him back the actual Zaysim. Either way, the Gemara is going to do now what it does best, and that is digress. Now, the digression, Rashi speaks this out later in the Gemara. The signun of the digression, the paper trail is the last lines of Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, Amar Rabbi Yirmiya, Kigoyin Da Tzricha Rabba. So the Gemara is going to bring now, again, it's going to be Zron related, which Hatzad Ashova, between this sugi and the previous sugi that we learned, is that it has no shaykhis to Perek HaShoyel. But in the end, Rabbi Yochanan is going to say something, and Rabbi Yirmiyah is going to be so nispal, he's going to say, Kigoyin, Da Tzricha Rabba, you have to be Mamash Rabbi Yochanan to be able to say something like this. Tanan Hossam, we learned in the Mishnah over there, and there is quite far from here, and that is Mesechtes Dumai, Perek Vav, Mishnah Beis. Rabbi Yehuda, I'm a Rabbi Yehuda, says, I'm a Kabbal, stay avoysa min anochri. If someone's Mekabbal, stay avoysa min anochri. So what's a Mekabbal? That's the name of the next parak. Hamakabal. Hamakabal, for our purposes, is an aris. We'll see what it means in the next parak. But for now, Makabal is an aris. He's a sharecropper. A sharecropper is somebody that works somebody else's field. So Reuven owns a field, but he doesn't know how to operate the field. Shimon works Reuven's field, and they have a profit-sharing arrangement. So the Makabal is a profit-sharer. Meaning, he's an artist, he takes 25% of the income of the payers that gets produced by this field. Not to be confused with a choyker. A choyker is somebody, a choyker with a chaf, a choyker is somebody that is, again, a farmer. He works somebody else's field, but instead of working a profit share agreement, what he does is he pays rent. So he basically says, I'm going to take all the profit, but I'm going to pay you X amount of bushels a year. That's not to be confused with a soicher, who's very similar to the choyker, but the soicher pays money. The choyker pays from the produce of the actual field. But in your name, we need the chilek between a makabel, also known as an aris, and a choyker. The makabel has a profit-sharing arrangement. You own two-thirds, I own one-third. That's the way it's viewed. As opposed to the choyker, the farmer owns 100% of it. He just pays rent. He has to give a certain dollar amount of whatever it is it produces. So again, the Mishnah says, if someone is mekabel, stay avoice of min anochri. So what's a stay avoice of? The Gemara is going to have two pshatim on what that means. Ma'aser, he has to be ma'aser, meaning he gives ma'aser from everything that the field produces. V'noisinloi, and it's only afterwards that he gives his due, his percentage to the nochri. So this person was a mekabel, a quote-unquote stay avoice of, that's the gray language here in the sugya, from nochri, that's critical. And the Mishnah says, a halacha, that what does he have to do? This is Rabbi Yehuda talking. You have to give ma'isin from everything that it produced before you go and you return it to the Nachri. So the Gemara says like this. So Vru, the Bnei Yeshiva, were of the opinion, ma'istei avoysa. What does the word stei avoysa mean? It means Eretz Yisrael. But my God, stei avoysa. Why would Eretz Yisrael be called stei avoysa? Stei Avram Yitzchak V'Yakov. Because this is the land that was promised Avram Yitzchak V'Yakov. Okay. Number two. V'kosovar. And the Bnei Yeshiva assumed that the halacha is, and that Rabbi Yehuda must be of the opinion, that a nochri doesn't have the ability to make a kinyan in Eretz Yisrael, to make Eretz Yisrael not chayev in maisa. So this is a big machloikas in Shas. Yesh kinyan lev kechavim, the Eretz Yisrael lefkiyam yad maisa or in kinyan. Meaning when a goy owns land, if he purchases a piece of land of Eretz Yisrael, does that land now have a chiyav chumas and maisa medei raisa or not? So the Bnei Yeshiva were of the opinion that Rabbi Yehuda must hold, just to try to make sense of this halacha, that in kinyan lenachi Eretz Yisrael lefkiyam yad maisa, which means even though this field belongs to who now? Belongs to a goy. Still, the field is chayv and chumas and maisus medei raisa. What then is the halacha of Rabbi Yehuda? Meaning, what's the punchline? Mekabel kechay kedami. So what Rabbi Yehuda was trying to say was that we treat a mekabel the same way we treat a chayker. What does that mean? Ma chayker bein avad bein lavad. Just like a chayker, he has to give his bushels of land, whether it produces or whether it doesn't produce. He's not a profit share. He has to give a fixed dollar amount. And it's for that reason, boi yasuri meitele. Before he gives whatever he gives to the guy, he has to be ma'aser. Because If he won't, it's the chipay reyach choy vasoidami. It's going to be as if he's paying up his choy from teva. Meaning, if this yid, who's the makabel, is going to say, why should I be mafresh shumus and maaser from the goy's chaylik? It's not mine anyways. He's going to eat it. There's no lifnei iver. Like, what's the big deal? There is a big deal. The reason is because you have a chiv right now to take from this and to give it to a guy, and you can't be pareh your chay from shumas and maestris. And being that, or from tevel, and being that there is a chiv tevel, why is there a chiv? Why is it tevel? Because ain't kayach be yad oiv dekechavim. So it's for that reason, a chayker, that's poshit, would have to be ma'asev enoisim loy, af mekabel. This is the punchline. Nami kepereh chay basay dami, ma'asev enoisim loy. In other words, so Vruah, the Bnei Yeshiva, thought that the pshat in Rabbi Yehuda's halacha was, Rabbi Yehuda was talking about somebody that's mekabel, land in Eretz Yisrael from a guy. The chiddush is ma'asev enoisim loy. Why? Based on two hanachas. Number one, ein kinyan biyad nachri be'eretz Yisrael afkir miyad meiser. As a result, it's chayv and shumas and meiser medei reisa. Number two, a mekabel is treated like a choyker. And just like a choyker, it's poshnit, would have to be ma'aser v'noisen loy. Because if you would give your rent now to the guy without being ma'aser, that means you're being perech chayvase betevel, which is something you're not allowed to do. A mekabel has to do the same thing. Now, that second chiddush is a very big chiddush, because a mekabel is really not like a choyker. A choyker is the pshat, he owns everything. So if I own everything, I'm being pereya a chayv, because really it's all mine. I just have a debt, and I'm doing it with tevel, which is something I'm not allowed to do. A mekabel is an aris. It's a profit sharing. I only own my cut. Your cut belongs to you. So when I give you your chelik, it's not the pshat that I'm being pereya a chayv. I'm giving you what's yours. If I'm giving you what's yours, so why can't I do that? The teretz is chiddush number two. Mikabel is kechaykedam. So Vruah, the Bnei Yeshiva thought that's Pshat Rabbi Yehuda. So again, you have this cryptic Mishnah Mesechtes Demai. If someone is Mikabel, stay avoisa from a nochri, what's the halacha? Ma'aser v'noisen loy. It's based on two chiddushim. Chiddush number one, ein kinyan v'nochri. Thus, it's chayim v'chum v'samaisis medei raisa. Chiddush number two, a mekabel, although he's not kechaykedami, we treat him kechaykedami. But I'm the Rav Kanal, the Rav Papi, Rav Milo, the Rav Zvid. El, ha'da tanya said, but I have a problem with your pshat. Because we learned in the Brisa Rida, Rav Yehuda says, a mekabel stay avoisa me'metzik nochri. If somebody is mekabel, stay avoisa from a metzik nochri. So a metzik nochri is a nochri that's a gazan. So we know for sure that he took this away from somebody else. Yehuda says, you have to give meiser, and then afterwards, you're noisim. So again, it's the same story. You're a mekabel, stay avoisav. But over here in the Braisa, we added one word. It doesn't say minan nachri. What does it say? It says mimetzik nachri. Now, what was the Bnei Yeshiva's kasha? My ear, you meitzik. I feel like ain't meitzik nami. Why is this halacha over here only said by a meitzik? It should be true even not by a meitzik. Meaning, what would be the significance of the fact that he's a meitzik? The significance of the fact that he's a meitzik is that karka in an exelus. So even though you took it from a nachri, you're mekabel it from him, but it really belongs to the yid. That's why it's chayv v'chumas v'maisnes. That's why ma'asav v'noisim loy. But if you're going to tell me the Rabbi Yehuda holds ain't kinyan l'nachri, l'havkimi v'chumas v'maisnes doesn't have to be a meitzik nachri, even a regular nachri. Now, the truth is, Rabbi Yehuda said it by regular nachri in the previous Mishnah. But if that's what the previous Mishnah means, then you have a stira between Rabbi Yehuda and the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda and the Braisa. It's funny, because to us, you would say, oh, Rabbi Yehuda and the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda and the Braisa, the same Rabbi Yehuda. It's not the same Rabbi Yehuda. Because in the Mishnah, it doesn't say a word about Metzik. And the Braisa, he does say Metzik. And it makes a whole world of a difference. Because if it's Metzik, that means you're chayiv to be ma'aseret, machmas, the fact that it still belongs to a yid. If it doesn't say Metzik, that means the guy bought it in a legitimate transaction. What's the nafkumina? Yesh kinyan or ain't kinyan? But if you're going to tell me Rabbi Yehuda holds ain't kinyan, then why in the Braisa did he say Metzik? Elul oylam. So it's for that reason the Gemara says no. Really, Rabbi Yehuda's sheet is yesh kinyan l'nachri be'eretz Yisrael dafkia miyad meiser. Where do you see that from the second Rabbi Yehuda? From the fact that when you buy it from a meitzik, then you're chayiv in meisers. Vice versa, if it's not from a meitzik, you're not chayiv in meisers. Mikabel, and by the way, this is going to force us to say a different pshat in the Mishnah, so we might as well knock out the second hanocha that we made as well. Could be mekabel's lav kechaykedami. Meaning, afilu im timtzel loymar, there's no hechrich to say that mekabel is kechaykedami. You might stay avoisav. So then what did Rabbi Yehuda mean in the Tananosim in the Mishnah Masechtis Mai? What was that stay avoisav even? It was stay avoisav mamish. It's talking about a real stay avoisav. And the Mishnah means something completely different. Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda in the Braisa, it sounds like the same halacha, it's not the same halacha. It means as follows. Ha mekabel stay avoisav min anochri. If someone is mekabel, a field that once belonged to his family. This is an heirloom from this individual's own mishpacha. Right now, it's by a nachri. The halacha is ma'aser v'noisen loy. You have to be ma'aser, and only then can you give him his cut. Now, really, you shouldn't have to. You shouldn't have to. But at the same time, you do. And the reason you do is a knas. And the knas is only for someone who's makabel his own stay avoisa, as opposed to a random man on the street who's makabel a field from a guy, he would not have that. And the reason for this distinction is they would the konsur rabban. The rabban gave him the knas, the aidi the chavivi oleh, because being that it's very chaviv to a person stay avoisa, tofi va'azel mikabala. We assume that this person will be willing to do it. He'll overpay a little bit and he'll do what he's supposed to do. Aval inish ta'amoloi. But a regular person will never do it. Meaning, a regular person will never take this deal. And because he'll never take this deal, so my ahanu chachomim betakantayu. As opposed to someone who has a chavivis, right? It has a certain significance, has a sentimental value, this field. So this person's going to take it, and because he's going to take it, so it's for that reason the knas has a pshat. But at the end of the day, says the Gemara, it's very nice, he'll do it. But why are we giving him a knas? He's saying you shouldn't give a knas. Really, Chayker is not like this, and he's not like that, so an ain't Kenyan. So what's this all about? I'm Rabbi Yochanan Kadesha Tehei Bara Biyadai. The Rishonim Mucha, what this word Bara means, I in the bottom Tosfos, it brings two different pshatim. Rashi's Loshin is Bara means Barura Umuchzekes. In English, what it means is we want this person to get the field back. We don't want the field to be by the guy. We want it to be by the yid, right? That's what we want the field, Mishum Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. And we want the yid to own it. So basically, what we're going to tell him is, we're going to tell him, listen, you want to be a makabel for this person? No problem. You want to work for him? Work for him. But you should know, you're going to pay so much rent, it's just not going to die. So what are you going to end up doing? You're going to figure out a way to buy it. That's what you're going to end up doing. And that's exactly what we want. Now, a regular person's not going to buy it. So you're wasting your time. But this person, who we know has sentimental value to it, we're going to be able to accomplish something. That's Rabbi Yochanan said. And Omer Rabbi Yirmiyah, what was Rabbi Yirmiyah's comment? To say hazavort, you have to be mamish like the great Rabbi Yochanan. Moving along. Now, this next Gemara that we're going to learn very, very fast, like we learn everything, but just kedai to know that this is a major Gemara. It's an often quoted Gemara in halachic circles and in rate circles. It's not a good Gemara to remember. If somebody goes into his friend's field, and he plants something, guy's sitting around, it's a Sunday afternoon, it's beautiful weather, he has nothing to do. So he decides, you know what, I'm going to go to my neighbor's field, and I'm going to start gardening, I'm going to do landscaping, I'm going to do a little bit of work. Sounds good, right? The bill came in the mail. Then he knocks on his neighbor's door, he hands him an invoice, gives him 30-day terms, he says, you know, I did work, I planted this, I planted that, I want you to pay for me. He looks at him like, serious, like, so what's the halacha? Does this person have a claim or does he not have a claim? That's the shaila. Rav said, yeah, he has a claim. Shamala. What we do is we make an assess, we make a shuma. The noiteya, the gardener, this eccentric person, he's yodai al hatachtoina. Meaning, he gets the lesser of his expenses or whatever it is that he produced. So if he expended $1,000 into this inyan, and now he produced a garden that's worth $1,500, he's going to get $1,000. If he spent $1,000 and the garden's only worth $500, so he's going to be entitled to $500. But epis vas he's going to get. That's what Rav said. Shmuel HaMashmuel said, we make an assessment. Kama adam roitza litim besod lezul enoita. Now, how much would a person be willing to pay to have such a garden? That's what he pays. Not yodel tachtoina. Shmuel hears it a little bit more. I think you have to pay him. Now you can't overcharge him. You can't make up your own rates. But as long as it's fair and customary, then the halach is he's going to be entitled to something. Rapapa said v'loy pligi. Right. So even though this certainly sounds like a Rav and Shmuel that are not amitravayu, it sounds like they're arguing. But this is a loy pligi. Kam besoda asu yolita. Kam besoda she'ena asu yolita. Rav was talking about a field she'ena asu yolita, where this person had no havamita ben benoit shall have a to ever do any gardening. You went ahead and you started gardening my field. I have to pay you, no problem. But the other al tachtoina, Shmuel's talking about what this is, what this field is meant for. So they already has to give him. This psak of Rav with the ganzkeit, as we're about to see, is not something Rav even ever said. Even though we're saying, oh my Rav never said it. We always speak this out, that whatever the Gemara says is, it's Rav. Rav was a shaskin. The Rambam says about Rav, and they used to be medayik what Rav said. But either way, this is a diuk in a Rav. What was the story? What was the michlod? Somebody once came to Rav. He told him, but somebody went, he was, and they said, Rav, what's the halacha? So he told him, make an assessment and figure out what you have to give him. So he says, I had no interest in ever planting. This is not something I ever wanted. Oh, you didn't want it? So he said, Okay, doesn't mean you're off the hook. So now it's already Yalat Tachtayim. Amalei Loi Be'ina. He said, I'm telling you I didn't want it. L'saif, L'maisa, at the end, Chazi, the God, Rebbe Kamantala. Rav saw that this person, you know, the next day, he was mowing his lawn. He was making sure that it was mamish, manicured perfectly. He was really enjoying this. So he chapped already that, you know, as much as he said Loi Be'ina, he just didn't want to pay for it. Amalei, so he told him, Golas Adaitech, the Nichalach, now I see you really like it. Zil Shumle, go make an assessment. V'yodai Nalal Tachtayim, Yodai Lo Yoyin. You see the whole mice in this story. Pun intended, right? What do you see over here? What you see over here is that in the event that the person wants it, meaning it's something that it's a field that is asuyalita, then you have to pay the whole thing. Fakir, yoda el yoina of the noiteya. And if he doesn't want it, right, when he told him, lechatchila, I don't want it, what did he tell him? No problem, zil shum levi yoda al takhtayna. So you see that a yoyri letoich sada chaver shaloi b'shus v'neiteya is entitled to something. What's he entitled to? It depends. If it's Asuya Lita, then he's entitled to more. If it's in Asuya Lita, then it's only Yodai Ala Tachtoina, which is what Rav said, and not just what Rav says, with Rav Papa's caveat. That even though Rav said Yodai Ala Tachtoina, you see from the mice, it's not always Yodai Ala Tachtoina. Only sometimes it's going to be Yodai Ala Tachtoina. Itmar. Hayar Lutai Churvasa Shal Chavera. Somebody goes into his friend's Churva. So the person has a friend who has a dilapidated house. It's a Churva right now. Kipshutai. And he went and he rebuilt it. Shaloi Beshusai. Right, he renovated his friend's house. Nobody ever asked him. Nobody ever said he's going to pay him. And then afterwards he said, says, no, I see you're not makritav anyways. No problem. I want my eitzim back. I want my avonim back. Rav Nachman Amar. Rav Nachman says, shoymen loy. We listen to him. He's allowed to take it. Rav Sheisha Samar. Rav Sheisha says, you did it. Ain't shoymen loy. It's like you are moichel. I'm sorry. It's too late. I understand. This is not the smartest thing you ever did in your life. But at the same time, you can't help it. It is what it is. A deal's a deal. And as a result, you can't take it by Mesmer, take the Gemara Kasha. It seems that the Tanam already discussed this. Shem Gamliel, Shem Gamliel said, Shem says, Shemim Loi. Mamish, this case, Shemim Loi, if you want to take it back, you can take it back, but it's a Loimer in Shemim Loi. Lamer of Nachman to Amar Kibbe Shammai, meaning if it's a Machloikis Tanam, it's a Machloikis Bisham Bisil. Bishammai is the one that says, Shemim Loi. So Rav Nachman says, Shemim Loi, like Bishammai, that can't be. So the Gemara says, Who the Amar Kiyaitan? Rav Nachman must have had a different version of what Bisham Bisil held on this Indian. The Tanya, and it's really Mefurish and Abraisa. Shoyman loy, divrei Rab Shimon ben Elazar. Shimon ben Elazar says Shoyman loy, last Rashi. Meaning, loy nechleku Bisham or Bisil of Adavar Zeh. Rather, everybody holds Shoyman loy. So Nachman held like Rav Shimon Elazar that everybody holds Shoyman loy, and therefore he's not getting involved in the Machlikes Bisham and Bisil. My Havi Allah, what's the bottom line with this whole Indian? I'm Rav Yaakov, I'm Rav Yoichanan. Bibayis, Shoyman loy. In a house, meaning if someone's yoyi l'toy churva, ubanu shloy b'shos, and now he wants to take back his eitzim avonu, we listen to him. Besod, if he does the same thing in a field, and he says, I want to take back my netiyos, ain't shaymim loy. Besod in my time. If the bias, you can take back your eitzim avonu, why in a sod can you not? Says the Gemara. That's why we're talking about this now. Mishum yishuv eretz Yisrael. It's related to yishuv eretz Yisrael. Ikadam Yisrael, I'm saying mishum chosha da'ara. Because if you take away the etzim v'avonim from this piece of property, you're not affecting the land. But if you plant and then you immediately pluck it out, that actually is going to weaken the ground. My beinayu, what's the nafkemina? The Gemara says, ike beinayu chutzlaretz. Very simple. Chutzlaretz, that's the nafkemina. The nafkemina is, if it didn't happen in Eretz Yisrael, if the reason is mishum yishuv eretz Yisrael, so it's only again, Eretz Yisrael. If the reason is mishum chashad ara, so then this halacha would be true even in chutzot. Moving along, hamaskir bayis lechaveira. If somebody rents a house to his friend, b'moisak shamin, if the agreement was that I'm renting this house to you for the winter. Now we'll see, the Gemara is going to have a shock of attire what the Mishnah really means. But for now, what the Mishnah means is that you rented the house for the winter. So the halacha is that if you agree that you're selling it to this person for the winter, so you can't evict them at any point during the winter. And how do you define the winter? Minachag v'ada Pesach. It means from Sukkot until Pesach. That is the definition of winter. So if you want to evict somebody, technically you don't have a lease. That's what it seems. So you can't do it minachag v'ada Pesach. Let's say you lease something to somebody for the summer. Then the halacha is shloishim yoyim. He has to be there for at least 30 days. After 30 days, you're allowed to evict him. So if the schiris was for the Moisak Shalman, again, that's where the Gemara understands the Chatchila, so then he gets to stay the entire winter. Winter is defined. What's winter's man? It's from Sukkis until Pesach. If, however, he says summer's man, what's the summer's man? A month, no. But what is Yemoisachag, it's Shloshim Yoim. That's Elzman. Ubekrachim, as it relates to the big cities. Echel Yemoisachamo, Echel Yemoisachshomim, Shnei Mosachadish. This is all true for like the small cities of Megillah Dav Beis fame, right? But if we're dealing with the Krochim, we're dealing with the bigger cities, so then it doesn't matter if it's the Yemais HaKshamim, it doesn't matter if it's the Yemais HaChama, every lease always goes for 12 months. Ubechoniyos, let's say we're not dealing with residential properties, but we're dealing with commercial properties, right? Retail, you're talking about stores. So Echad Ayorois, it doesn't matter if it's in small cities, Echad Krachim, or if it's in big cities, Shnei Masa Chayzesh, your lease is for a minimum of 12 months. Shimon Gamliel said, Chanus shel nachtoimim v'shel tzavoyim. If you have a store of bakers or of dyers, Shalai Shanim, it's already 3 years, the Gemara is going to explain why. Either way, so the Mishnah said that if somebody leases a house to his friend, this is all true in cities. In the big cities, Bekrachim, it doesn't matter if it's during the Yemais HaChama, it doesn't matter if it's during the Yemais HaKshamim, it's always going to be Shtei Masa Chaydash. The Gemara, the way Rashi speaks out right here in the beginning of the Sugyo, Kasolka Daitach, that we're talking about where the lease said, I'm leasing you for the Yemais HaKshamim. Versus, I'm leasing you for the Maisach Shama. So the Gemara says, I understand the halacha. Maisha Maisach Shama. Why is it if it, the lease says Maisach Shama, the chi agar in chi base of Maisach Shama, agar look like Maisach Shama? Why is it that if the lease says Maisach Shama, you get to be there the whole winter? Nusi Maisach Shama namiki agar in this base look like Maisach Shama agar. So then, when it comes to the summer, if it says in it summer, you should be able to be there for the entire summer. Right? If winter means winter, then summer should mean summer. How does winter mean winter, but summer means 30 days. It just doesn't make any sense. So the Gemara says, Eli, you have to say, pshat is as follows. Pshat is, during the winter, apparently, again, you had to be there, it was very difficult to find houses to rent. So if somebody says, it's understood that you're going to be able to be there the whole winter. In the summer season, it's not so hard to find a house to rent. It's hard to find a bungalow, but it's not so hard to find a house. And because it's not so hard to find a house, so it's for that reason, there's no Svarah chitzayna that says you get to be there the entire summer, and therefore 30 days, yes, but after 30 days, nah, says the Gemara, ain't a sefer. But if that's the pshat, meaning I hear, but if that's the pshat, take a look at the sefer, what the sefer say, bekrachim, as it relates to the very big cities, echli moisacham, echli moisacham, shnei masachoydish, it's always 12 months, meaning from the day that you stipulated. Now, what happens if the 12 months end the middle of the winter, right? So you're going to be able to evict the vamai, holoishchiach, beisalameger. If you're telling me there's a svarah, you can never evict a person during the winter, because he's not going to find a place to live. So then why is it in the big cities it's 12 months, even if the 12 months ends, mamish, Rosh Chodesh Shvat, which is smack in the middle of the winter? So the Gemara says, I'm Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda said, you're right. I think Pshat in this Mishnah, the way we have it is all wrong. We have to revisit the Mishnah. You know what the Mishnah means when it says 30 days and all these different zmanim? It's lahidia ketani. It means how much notice does a landlord have to give his tenant if he wants to evict him? If somebody is masker a bias to his friend Stam, and it doesn't say when the term of the lease ends, he cannot evict him during the winter. Unless he gave him 30 days of advance notice. And really, where do you see the 30 days? You see from the next part of the Mishnah, Ayin Rashi. It's because b'moisacham et shloishim yoyim. And what does it mean b'moisacham et shloishim yoyim? 30 days lohidia, 30 days notice. The point is you always have to give 30 days notice. But here's the difference. B'moisacham, just give the guy 30 days notice. Right, so July 1st, tell him August 1st, I need my house back. No problem. That's something you're allowed to do. But as it relates to the b'moisacham, you can never just jump on someone in the middle of the winter and tell them 30 days, I want to... You can't do that because it's very hard to find a place. So the 30 days notice has to be 30 days before the Chag. Rashi says, Tezvav El, I'm smack in the middle, El is not. You give him notice. That's what's going on here. And the point is that it's then that the halacha is going to be that you'd be able to evict him. But the point is that what we're referring to is notice. Has that answered the kasha? What was the kasha? Ima Seifa. Bekrachim, Yudbeis Chodesh. What do you mean? What happens if the Yud Beis Chodesh terminates in the middle of the winter? The Torah says, we're not saying that the lease is going to end there. We're talking about notice. Lahidia Ketani. Bekrach, can you give him 12 months notice? That's zicha good. Okay, 12 months notice. If you got 12 months notice in the middle of the winter and you couldn't give zichan etzah by Sukkot to figure out where to live, then that's not my problem. But the point is, we mean notice. You're never terminating somebody in the middle of the winter without giving him notice. Okay, Bekrach, you're giving him more notice. You're giving him 12 months. A Tanya Nami Yochi, a price that supports this Pshan in the Mishnah. Mishnah. Ukesha Amru Shnei Masach Chaydish. Right here it says Mefurish regarding Shnei Masach Chaydish as well. Loi Amru Ela Lehoidia. It means notice, says the Mishnah. Says the Brayse. Right. Kshem Shemasker Zarech Leidia. Kach Zarech Zarech Leidia. Just like the masker has to give notice to a tenant, so to the tenant, if he wants to leave, he would have to give notice to the landlord. Amale, because if he doesn't give a notice, the landlord could tell the tenant, right, had you notified me, I would have found somebody to replace you, but you not notifying me, you're causing me damage, and because you're causing me hefsig, so therefore, at the very least, you have to be moedim. Amar Rav Atzmi, Rav Atzmi said, that once you're one day into the winter, at that point, you can't evict him anymore. That was Rav Atzmi's, he suffered to the sugya, right? So Rav Atzmi comes to Beis Medrash, says, I want to tell you halacha regarding landlord-tenant related laws, related to eviction policies in halacha, and he says that once it's one day into the winter's man, mamish the first day sukkahs, b'yoy merushin, literally. So once you're holding by that, at that point you're not allowed to evict. The Gemara, Rav Asi, v'anan shloishim yoyim kama. The Mishnah says you have to give 30 days notice. Is the Ahavamina that if you're one day into this man, you should be able to evict him? So the Gemara says, Hachi Kamar. This is where Rav Asi meant. Im nichnas yoyim echad imoysak shamim mihani shloishim yoyim. Eni yoch leitzim en achag v'adabas. You have to give a full 30 days notice. We don't prorate this. There's no games you can play. So if you would give, Rashi says, not on Tez Vavel, but Tez Zayinel, so that it's 29 days before Sukkot, but the first day Sukkot is still part of the 30 days. So you didn't give him 30 days, you gave him 29 days, meaning if you miss the notice by one day, so what happens now? You lose 6 months. That's what happens. Now you already have to wait to give the notice, or at the very least, to evict him until after Pesach, says the Gemara. I'm Rav Huna. Rav Huna sent them both. Rabbi's Bedam and Marbet. Let's say you have a landlord that has a tenant, and the landlord wants to get the tenant out. But it's Nishtazai Pashin. Notice, right? There's a whole bunch of different halachas. So there is a trick. The trick is, if he wants, he can be Marbet Bedam. If he wants, he can raise the price. If he wants, he can charge him more money. You charge him more money, right? So this person's living by a month-by-month lease. So if you want to go and you want to evict him, you can't evict him, okay? But it doesn't say anywhere that I can't charge him more money. So if you want to charge him more money, you can do that. That's something you can do. So the Gemara says, when Rav Nachman heard this, somebody, Rav Nachman said, Hi, linkite bikufse delishkeve leglima. He says, I don't understand. So Rashi says that this is really a mashal. Rashi's lashon is harehu ka'oichsei bebeitzim shaloi achemeniach leitalisoi. You need a koloimar. Rashi says koloimar kibin shemala al domav ein lochamaitzi gadol mizeh. So you tell me you can't evict him, right? But what you could do is you can raise the rate 10 times what the going rate is. He says that's an eitzah. He says that's playing mamish in a way where you're certainly forcing this person's hand. So if you can evict him, you shouldn't be able to do that. And either, so what did Rav Huna even mean? So the Marsha says, you have to say that Rav Huna meant in the event that the prices went up, so now this person is really losing. Narvas, you're using the halacha against. You're saying, listen, I'm in a lease agreement. I'm not giving you more than what we agreed upon, right? And I should be able to evict you. No, you can't. Learn Bava Metzia. Dafko Falav from the base. You can't evict me. Shoy, no problem. You want to play like that? That's not an issue. Then already I could stop raising the rates and I could force you to get out. Meaning, if there's a real hefset to the landlord, that's when this halacha is going to be in effect. Pshita, says the Gemara. That's obvious. Nafala Beisa. In the event that you had a masker who has a seicher. Now, the masker had his own house and his house fell. And tells the seicher, I want my house back. The problem is he's bound by these eviction laws. So the question is, can he send them out or can he not send them out? The answer is, yeah. Meaning, I understand I'm not allowed to evict you in the Weltarein, but I need it to live. So, mechatesi, you can live there and I can live there, and it's based on that. Allah, if he wants to send him out, he could do that. Zovne, what would be if somebody is a masker, he has a house, and then he sold this house? Or he died, he went over to Yerusha. Yavim, he gave it to someone as a gift. And then this new person, this cliche, and he comes to the seicher and he says, listen, there's new management, and we want you out, right? He says, I understand the previous landlord, these chevra have a business model, and right, they have certain covenants to hit. Then as a result, they walk in and they say, we're raising rates, we're evicting you, you're out. So they come with this very aggressive model. So the halachi is, they can't do that. And the reason is, because the soicha can tell the masculine, because you're not better than the person, right? Person who has something can only sell what he has, or you can't buy more than somebody else has, right? Kol schusha tavali yada is all that you're able to get. And it's for that reason It's for that reason, if the masker himself couldn't evict, so the person that bought from the masker won't be able to evict as well. Call away the break. What happens if a person had a house, he's renting it to somebody, and now his son became a chusin, and as a result, a machasana, and he needs it for his son. So could he evict him? Could he not evict him? Right? This is a little tricky. Because if it's for himself, we just said he could. This is not mamish for himself, but it's for brokada davur. So yes or no? So the Gemara says chazinan, we analyze the situation. Yeah, the efshalei duye. If it was a situation where he could have notified him, you should have notified him. And if not, then already it's a bechina of chayecha koydim, and he's allowed to keep it. One last gemara, a story. Who gave it? There was a person who an arba dechami. He bought a ship full of wine. Like ashkich tuchta loy suve. Okay, so he takes it from the port, and he needs a warehouse. He needed a place to store it. He needed a cellar, maybe. Amalah lahi itza. So there was a woman that he had heard that had a place to store wine. So he asked this woman, did this soiche, islach tuchta ugri? Do you have a place that I can rent from you? Amalay loy? No, I don't. He knew she did. He just understood that she didn't want to rent it to him. So he had a perfect idea. He says, I have another question. Will you marry me? Right? Azal kitcha. So he went and he was Makai. He said, yeah, that I will do. Now they're already husband and wife. Shulam bayis. So now already he had a place to store his wine. No. He got married. This was a long day. Later that day, Azal lebeisne. He went home. Kasav lakita. He write a get. Shadallah. And he gave her the get. But in the meantime, he already had this place where his chayr is being stored. Maybe they even draw police. I don't know. But the bottom line is that, okay, it sounded good. Azali, but she then went, and agrash kulay mine. She went, agrash kulay. She hired porters. Mine yube. Right, talom this. Mine yube, she hired these porters, and these porters were paid. She said, I'm not paying out of pocket. She took from the wine. She said, you could take as many barrels of wine as you need to do this. You could be a niskel pesheya too if you want, right? So here's that we learned previously. Since you don't have to worry about this. But ois for the shvila. And in the meantime, she took everything, she put it in the middle of the street, and this guy comes yelling and screaming. He says, I understand. I checked off all the boxes. Technically, he did, right? He has a lease. Now, he rather got the lease. Shtickle Beramois. I mean, I don't know if I want to do business with this guy, but Lamaisa, he has a shtickle lease. I'm Rav Huna Brei Rav Yeshua. So, Rav Huna Brei Rav Yeshua said, as this follows, he said, Kasher osa kenye osa loy gmula yosha b'roisha. He says, no. In Ikesh Tetapo, right? What did Yaakov Avinu tell Rachel? He says, I'm not worried about your father. He says, I understand. I'm an Ishtam Yosha Baholim. But at the same time, Im Novar Titaber Vim Ikesh Tetapo, Ochav Anibram Yusa, right? So the point is, this is the way you handle a guy like this. And Rav Huna, Brei Rav Yeshua said, I'll tell you how vite this halacha goes. Mi and that's poshin. Let's say this person, Mamish, he just took all his wine and he put it into this woman's living room, which is not Kaimala Agra, right? So that's poshut. She would be allowed to do this. Afilu chatz of the Kaimala Agra. So then you would say, maybe it's like a Zen Nen of a Zalai Chaser. It's anyways Kaimala Agra, so what's the problem? No, still, Amrale, she could tell him, L'kuli alma nichali li'igure, I'm willing to lease this out to anybody. Of ulucha loy nichali. Abedavka you not. Why not? The domus alaiki arye arba. Because I see you literally like a lion that's mamish, waiting and lurking and trying to get me. You're clearly not the kind of person that I want to have anything to do with. Not you and not your wine. And as a result, I want you to go ahead and take your wine away. Last part of the Mishnah was, so we have all these halachas of someone's masker bias. It's a small city, it's a big city, it's Mimaisak Shami, Mimaisak Chama, eviction laws, how much notice you have to give. But then the Mishnah said that when it comes to stores, a different Shulchan Aruch, ubechanuyos, commercial properties, it doesn't matter if it's Ayaris or Kraken, it's always Yud Beis Chodesh. Rav Shimon ben Gamliel said that if it's a chanus shal nachtoimim v'shal tzaboim shal eshanim, then already it's going to be 3 years. So why are stores even different? So Rashi in the Mishnah said that the reason stores are different is because when people own stores, they sell on credit. And what happens is you're going to buy something from someone and you're going to buy it on credit. You're getting good terms. You're getting 12-month terms. Okay, you're going to show up 6 months later. The person's not there anymore. So you're not going to be able to pay. So the reason you have to give all this notice to the seller, and all these chanuyos, is because you need the seller to have time to be able to collect his debts, because once he's out of his location, go find the person, right? You're not going to be able to pay. So there's too much hefset. It's not so much mitzad the schiris makum shavai, but there's this like grum garmitika hefset that's going to come about to the owner of the store. That's what permeates this issue. Now, the Mishnah said for regular stores, it's 12 months. But when it comes to the chanus shal nachtoimim and the tzabam, it's 3 years. What's the reason for this? Tana mipnei shehekeifa meruba. Because there they used to extend their credit sometimes up to 3 years. So because they extended their credit for such a long period of time, so it's for that reason we have to give him more time. That's why the notice has to be a little bit longer exhale. So just to end an intense daf of week of daf yomi with something a little bit light. And really, it's going back to something that we spoke about earlier in the week. It's a part two. So we discussed on daf tzadik vav amid beis, Rami Bar Chama had a shayla. The shayla itself is not the inyan. But Rami Bar Chama had a shayla, bal benichsei ishtay mimah. In the event that a married woman's father dies, she now yarshins the estate of her father. The estate is nechsem alug, so that the peiros transfer over to her husband. The assumption is that there's a me'ila here. In the event that part of the estate was hektish, and they didn't know that there was hektish. And the question is, who's the mo'el? And Rami Bar Chama had three tzedakot. Maybe the isha should be a mo'el, maybe the husband should be a mo'el, and maybe even Bezdin should be a mo'el. Now, what was Rami Bar Chama's svar? What was his sad that Bezdin should be a mo'el? So Rashi says as follows, Nimalu Bezdin, shall Yisrael shaba isa adar. Rami Bar Chama entertained the possibility that maybe the Bezdin of that generation should be the mo'el. Shekol takonois mishpat tluya behem. Because really all takonois of mishpat are tolui in the Bezdin of that generation. And it's through them that all the chukois and all the different mishpatim that go back to yesteryear are enforced. And it's as if they themselves are the one that made this takana, the nimtzu. And if that's the case, what emerges is heim hamaknu l'nichsei hektish v'aitzim l'chulun. They're the ones that are taking nichsei hektish and they're being maknid from the rishus of the isha to the rishus of the husband. The point is this. The point is Rami Bar Chama had it said that maybe when nechsem alug, hektish b'shoigig, goes over the Yerusha, maybe Bezdin should be viewed as being moil b'hektish. And the reason is because peiros nechsem alug transfers over al yedei the takana Bezdin that bal oichel peiros. So if it goes via the takana Bezdin that bal oichel peiros, then maybe we should view Bezdin as being a moil b'hektish. So we spoke out already twice that this Rashi at first glance seems to be a chiddush noira, because although it's true that bal oichel peiros nechsem alug is the takana's Bezdin, but it's the Bezdin sheba oisei adar that made the takana. This is an old takana, it goes back to the times of Hefker Bezdin Hefker, Tnai Ksuba, etc. This is not the Bezdin sheba oisei adar that's enforcing this takana. So if that's the case, how does this Bezdin somehow become a baldover? How does this Bezdin become a mechutin that now all of a sudden we should view them as being moil? Maybe the original Bezdin, but they're already Lameisim Chavshi. They can't bring a carbon Me'ila. It doesn't make any sense to apply any of the laws of Me'ila to them. Elamai, we mean the Haintika Bezdin, the way Rashi explains it. And Rashi's saying that's Hesber, because really it's the Haintika Bezdin. It's the Haintika Bezdin. No, it's not. It's the Friedika Bezdin. So we said over from the Mishkan Es Yaakov that the Mishkan Es Yaakov said that you see in this Rashi, that the way all takonos of Bezdin work, all the Hefker Bezdins, called the Makadosh, the Rabbanu Makadosh, it's not that the Chachamim made a takono, and that takono now is on autopilot, and it's going to be with us at Bias Goyal Tzedek Meir B'Yameinu. That's not how it works. But rather, Bezdin put a takana in place, and it's incumbent upon the Bezdin of every single generation to reinforce it, and for it to become chayzev and air. But in every dar, the reason all the takonos and all the chukim, hagunim, are in place is not machmas the takono of the Friya de Gadar. It's that too. But it's machmas the takono of the Hainte Gadar. And without the Hainte Gadar, without them aiding and abetting this takono, the takono wouldn't be in place. And if that's the case, if a takono would be goyre me'ilo, there's mokum to say that the Bez and Shavai Se'adar should be viewed as literally being mo'el b'hakdash. And the Mishkan Siakim said this in the context of being Malamed Tzchus on Yidin, that the Rosh already spoke about in his times. That's how far back, almost 1,000 years, where the Rishonim already observed that Yidin were being noyeg in Shemitah's Ksofim. So he said, a Chiddush Nifl, that really Shemitah Bezman HaZez, the Rabbanon, if that's the case, Shemitah's Ksofim Bezman HaZez, also with the Rabbanon, Shemitah's Shemitah's HaKasim Medaber, and if Shemitah's Ksofim is with the Rabbanon, the only ability for the Rabbanon to make a Shemitah's Ksofim would be based on Hefker Bezdin Hefker. Hefker Bezdin Hefker, its Pasha requires a Bezdin of Smuchim. If Hefker Bezdin Hefker requires the Hainte Bezdin to do it, we don't have smuchin. Elamai, you have to say, like the Gemara says throughout Shas Shlichusayu Kavdinon. But the Gemara also says a parak Megaris that you don't always say Shlichusayu Kavdinon. It has to be a milsa de shchicha, and it has to be a davar sheyesh bechasan kiss. Over here, Adir Rabbi, the chasan kiss is to the malva, not to the loy, but that was the last rabbi. And as a result, it wouldn't make sense if this was his grosser limud zchus on Yidin. Maybe why we're not knowing on Shmita's Ksavim, because could be there is no Shmita's Ksavim, because there's no bezdin that has the authority today to enforce a hefker bezdin hefker, b'chai gavna, where it's going to result in a Shmita's Ksavim. Varm the flan. I'll tell you another davar nifla, and that is Rabbi Tzal Zolti, Zachrein Olivracha, and his Sefer Mishnas Yaivitz, and this is a Chayshem Mishpat Simin Vav. He says that it could be this Rashi is the beer in a machlokes Rambam and Raivit. This is a machlokes we've spoken about many times over the years. This is classic Shabbat classic. It's in Hilchas Mamrim. It's Perek Beis Halacha. I'm just going to read the Rambam Raivit. This is not the Raivit. Bezdin shegozru gzeira or yeskinu takon. If Bezdin is gozru gzeira, they make a takon. Then higu minim, or they enforce the custom. Upashat kol adav v'chol Yisrael. And this gzeira, this takon, this minig was literally in the spashin thing against Klal Yisrael. V'amad acharei Bezdin acher ubikas shavatul divrei rishonim. And then a Bezdin later comes and they want to be mevatel what the rishonim did. Ulaker is a takon. You can't do it. So a later bezdin can't be oikos something a previous bezdin did unless they're greater than the previous bezdin. Says the Ram. Here's the punchline. Even if the reason that was the impetus for the underlying zera. Or his skin, or the underlying takana. It doesn't matter. Says the Rambam, this halacha that a later bezin can't be mevatel something that a previous bezin did is true, even if batal hatam she biglalu gazra rishayim ayaskinu. It's neither here nor there. If the reason is no longer chay v'kayim, who cares? You still can't be mevatel. Everyone knows this Rambam that once bezin makes a takana, even if it's batal hatam, still the halacha is you can't be mevatel this takana. Says the Rambam, Omer Avra, itur shuke Yerushalayim beperis kasha. The halacha of Itur Shuke Yerushalayim beperus. So Rishonim teknu for Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai botla acha churban b'neshin is battle hatam shol Rishonim v'loy hoyo gadol k'Rishonim. And Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, as great as he was, he's cotton shop a kulam. Right, as great as he was, but he's not as great as the Rishonim that made this takana. So what's this halacha that the Ravid's talking about? So the halacha is the Neter Avoy, which we spoke about Neter Avoy in the daf. So you have to eat dafka in Yerushalayim unless you want to be poyded. You have to be poyed at dafka outside Yerushalayim. The Gemara says that if you're within one day's travel of Yerushalayim, you are not allowed to be poyed in that Ravai. It was the Takonas Chazal. Why could they la'ate shuki Yerushalayim the Peiris? Because you're so close to Yerushalayim, you're within literally a day's travel. Go to Yerushalayim, bring the Peiris there, make Yerushalayim beautiful. Right? When the Peiris of Yerushalayim are outside of Yerushalayim, it's mamish gaval. So could they la'ate shuki Yerushalayim the Peiris? So the Chacham made a Takona. Don't be poyed in that Ravai if you're so close. Yechem Azak, I saw Churban Beis Hamikdash. He says, you be ma'ate shuki Yerushalayim the Peiris. And he says, no. This takana is no longer in effect. You want to be poided, even within a day's travel of Yerushalayim, it's something you're allowed to do. Says the Ravid, how is Rabbi Yechim and Zaki allowed to be mevatel what the Rishonim did? Must be, because it was batal atam. There's no reason anymore. You'd be ma'atish, Yerushalayim beperus, Yerushalayim is bechurbana right now. So what do you see from there? That although it's true that a bezin can't be mevatel divrei bezin chaveira unless it's called a men b'chachim b'minyan, but it's only if it's loy batal atam. But if it's batal atam now, said Rabbi Tzal Zolti, yesh loy mar, what's the hesper in the machlokes Rambam and Ravid? He says it's super lundish. This is mamish, the balabatish version of it. He says the pshat is this Rashi. How do all takanas chazal work? If the gender of takanas chazal is that once the takanas put into place, now it's on autopilot, it's going to be that way forever. So who cares that it was batal atam? The reason I can't be mevatel is because the takana was put in place, and in mele, I have no ability to be mevatel. But if the gather of how takanas work is that the chayzer v'neir in yedidar, so the mahalach of the takana is it's put in place, and then every generation. It's chayz of an heir. So every generation, maybe we have to revisit and we have to see. Does it make sense for it to be there? Does it not make sense for it to be there? Now, if it makes sense for it to be there, then it goes into place. But al kaponim, you can hear why the Ravid would say that in the event that the time is bottled, so it makes no sense for it to be chayz of an heir. If this is Ezra's takana, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai can't be mevatel Ezra's takana. But if Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai himself has to be the one that's going to enforce Ezra's takana, like Rami Bar
Chama said, the way Rashi explained, the way the Mishkan HaSiakim understood it, it's based on the fact that Vaker, Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai would be a Moyel Ki'ilu right now, because it's his as Balabos of the Takona. If he's Balabos of the Takona, so right now, oh, there's no Kidei La'ata, Shukri Shalayim in Paris. So he says, it could be this Raivin in Perik based, Hilchas Mamre Malacha based. It could be it's Mamish Matim with this Rashi tucked away in Bava Metziah, Tav Tzadik Vava Mebeis, V'divrei Pi Chokom Chem. But I just want to speak out one Ha'ara. This is more in Pnimiya Satayra. And this is a Torah from Rav Tzadok HaKohen Lublin. It's in Divrei Soifrim. It's Oisiyot. Tzadok says as follows. He says, the Zohar Kodesh says, in Parashas Ekev, Daf Resh Ayin Gimel Amid Aleph, Dor Hoylech V'dor Ba V'ha'aretz La'olam Maimedes. Says the Zohar Kodesh, what does it mean, Dor Hoylech V'dor Ba? Hador Shehoylech, Hu Hador Sheba. The Dor that's Hoylech is the same exact Dor that's Ba. Says Rav Tzadok, Pashup Shan in the Zohar HaKadosh is related to the Soid of Gilgal, meaning there's a concept of a Gilgal. So the Dor Shehoylech is going to be Nizgalgal. It's going to come back again, and that's Pashup, what the Zohar HaKadosh is saying. Abba says, Rav Tzadok, Milvad Soidei BeGilgal. Besides for the fact that it's Pashup, that's the Oymek of what the Zohar HaKadosh is saying. Abba Pshutei Kimashmoid is a Pashup Shat that's even deeper than that Pshat, and that is the Knesset Yisrael Bichlal. That Knesset Yisrael is considered one, and it's the same Knesset Yisrael in every single generation. Tzadik says a dover nifla. He mamish bangs out the Yisrael right at the beginning of the shtekel. He says Klal Yisrael is a unit. Klal Yisrael is a chetza, right? It's Yudu. The Reb Chaim Vital said over in the name of the Arizal. It's printed in the Sefer Eitz Hadas Toiv. In the end of Parshas Kedoshim, V'yahavta l'reyacha kamoicha. So Reb Chaim Vital said, Yirtze b'mashenoide b'posik odom atem, ki kol Yisrael heim ilon echad. All of Klal Yisrael is one tree. V'odom echad kolom in ramach evarim. U'kemoisha kol evarim ha'odom oyav in zelozeh. So too, a Yid has to love another Yid. Because all Yidin are really part of one person. And that's the oimik of V'yahavta l'reyacha kamoicha. Because we're all part of one unit. So every single Yid is part of one unit called Knesset Yisrael. But Rav Tzadok is saying that not only is every Yid part of one Knesset Yisrael is the same Knesset Yisrael in every single generation. It doesn't change. It's the same exact Knesset Yisrael. Right? The names on the uniforms might change, but the uniform doesn't change. It's the same cheftz of Knesset Yisrael. And Rav Tzadok says, and when you understand this, there's so many things that come to light. He says that we know Chazal say, "Ubiyoyim pakti upakadati," that any single time Klal Yisrael does an aveira, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that you do an aveira, and I'm remembering something that you did that was not okay. I'm going to remember the Chet Egel, and there's going to be a little bit of Chet Egel. Frank Rav Tzadok, I don't understand. We say in the Aseres Hadibros that the Eved is poiked avoinavois, right? Al shileishim al ribeim. But how does it make sense that ubiyoyim pakti upakadati? Says Rav Tzadok. That avada, that's true. If a father does something, so is the son achroi for what the father did. So if the son goes, the maisei avoysav, could be he will, and he'll have to pay up this choiv of his father. One dar, two dairis, three dairis, four dairis. But there's a maximum, there's a gvul of how much you would have to pay. He says, when Klal Yisrael worshipped the Chet HaEgel, Knesset Yisrael worshipped the Chet HaEgel. 2,000, 3,000 years later, we're the same Knesset Yisrael. If we're the same Knesset Yisrael, some Hechatei said we shouldn't get punished for what happened by the Chet HaEgel. Ubiyoyim pakti upakadati kifals the zelba Knesset Yisrael. It's not working with the Mahalach of, oh, our Elta, Bubbles and Zaydis did something. No, that has a gvul. That stops at a certain point, but that's not working mitzad that. It's working mitzad of Ubiyoyim pakti upakadati. It's working because Knesset Yisrael did the Chet HaEgel. And if Knesset Yisrael did the Chet HaEgel, it's the same Knesset Yisrael. So Knesset Yisrael could be achroi now for what happened as well. He says, you find it in the reverse as well. You find that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Klal Yisrael, Zachartu lachesen uraich, ahavas klu esayich, lechtech acharai b'midba beretz le'zeruah, even though there's a nyonim of Abba lo mezaki bro, etc., etc. He says, but the oimik is something else. The oimik is Hashem tells Klal Yisrael, this Klal Yisrael, you were with me in the midbar, and you were lechtech acharai b'midbar beretz le'zeruah, and because of that, that's chus and something that's chai v'kayim for us, because we ourselves are the one that did it. Rav Tzadok says, listen to the Lashon, the Kro Dayik, it says, Ne'urayich, Kululoisayich, Lechtech. Right, we say this on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Lechtech acharai b'midba b'eretz lo'izroa. Zacharti lo chesen urayich. Chesen urayich, us? We weren't there. Zaydis were there. Oh, it's very nice. Our Neshamas were by Har Sinai, right? What does it have to do with us?
Zacharti lo chesed nurayich, your chesed. Ahavas kluloisayich, because the Eibush is talking to Klal Yisrael. And this Klal Yisrael is the same Klal Yisrael as the previous thing of Klal Yisrael. And that Klal Yisrael was lechtech acharei b'midba b'eretz leizeruah. That means this Klal Yisrael is lechtech acharei b'midba b'eretz leizeruah. Because Klal Yisrael is one and the same. Klal Yisrael doesn't change. He says, that's what Chazal mean when they say tzibur loy maisi. It has nafkiminas la'aloch in the sugi of chata shemesu ba'leh. A carbon tzibur, chata shemesu ba'leh. You don't have the chomish chatois ha'mesi. You don't have the aloch of the moish b'sin that it's lemisa azla. Why not? Because tzibur loy maisi. That's the oimek, the pnimius. Knesset Yisrael is loy maisi. It's the same exact Knesset Yisrael. Rav Tzadik says that with this, you can understand a little bit of the pnimius of a Rashi tucked away in Perek HaShoyel. And he brings the Lashonis of Rashi, where Rashi says, Nimalu Bezdin. Rashi is mutching a little bit. What do you mean, Nimalu Bezdin? It's not Bezdin. It was really the Friya de Gebesdin. So he says that when you understand that Knesset Yisrael is one unit, and the Knesset Yisrael from Ezra's Zeitin is the same Knesset Yisrael, Bismanenu, right now, then you understand that the Eda of Klal Yisrael is the same Eda. If the Eda of Klal Yisrael is the same Eda, that means that the Einei HaEda, the leaders, are the same Einei. It could be it's different names, it's different people. Aber Yiftach B'Doyre Kishmu B'Doyre, right? That's an Oymen. Because at the end of the day, it's the same Einei HaEda. The Einayim are the same Einayim. You want to know, Grader in Gavra, who is the Einayim today? This was Shmuel and this was Yiftach. This was Ezra and this is the Eidach HaRedis. I don't know. But the point is that the Einei Eda, it's the same Cheftz of the Einei HaEda. So Rashi is saying in Pnimius HaKoponim that Avada, the Takonis of Hefker Bezdin and Baal Oichel's Peres Nechsem Lugavada, you want to know the history of it. You want to know when it went into effect. Of the Maisa, being that who is the one that enforced it? Who put it in place? The Einei HaEda. And you are today the Einei HaEda. And you're the same Einei HaEda. Because if it's the same Klal Yisrael, it's the same Einei HaEda. So even though these gavras aren't the ones that did it, or ben pnimius al kaponim, the Einei HaEda, w'mayel, du bist the Einei HaEda. So there's an Indian of Zacharti Lachesen Urayich in the reverse. Be yipokti u'bakadati on some level, they're going to be achroi. I ain't shum the way he explains it, but al kaponim, this is this Yisrael. The Yisrael is that there's an Indian of Knesset Yisrael. There's one Cheftza, there's one unit of Knesset Yisrael. Emes is, if you take a look at that Zohar, in Reishai and Gimel, Amid Alev, it's in Rai Mehemne and Parshins Ekev. So the Zohar says as follows. The Zohar says, Va'antu de Itmar Aloch. Zohar is talking about Moshe Rabbeinu. Va'antu de Itmar Aloch, B'shagam hu basar. Where does it say this? B'dor de dor haflaga haves. This was by the dor haflaga. U'bechol dor v'dogar b'gilgula. K'galga de mishapich l'kam agafnen. So b'shagam, we know is b'gematria Moshe. It's b'gematria 345. And Chazal say b'shagam hu basar is referring to Moshe Rabbeinu. And Moshe Rabbeinu was by the Dara Floga. Moshe Rabbeinu was by the Dara Floga. Hadn't Moshe Rabbeinu come through to the Dara Floga? The Teretz is because really Moshe Rabbeinu is in every generation. Every generation has a little bit of Moshe. But Moshe Rabbeinu, with the goof, that only happened b'dara this yav be'ayraisa yodach in the generation that is Mekabel Torah. But he goes right to the desire. The Zayas says like this, that Antu Kishimsha Dinar Bechal Davidar, Moshe Rabbeinu, you're a Shemesh that you shine in every single generation. Dechat Iskin Ishimsha Belelya Nar Besiara. Because when the sun sets at night, its light still shines through the moon. Ubishintin Ribay Kaichvaya, and through the 600,000 stars. Hachi At, this is you, Moshe. The Ant Nar Beshitin Ribay Bechal Dara Vidara. The Hai Iyu de Karamas Kaihel is Dar Hoylech Vidar Ba. And what's the oimik hador shahoylech? Who hador shaba? Says Reb Tzadik, that's mamish what's going on in the Zohar. The Zohar Kodesh is saying that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't just live during the Dor of Moshe Rabbeinu, but Moshe Rabbeinu himself, b'shagam u'basa, even in the Dor HaFloga, there was a Moshe Rabbeinu. Every single generation, atu kishimsha dinor b'chol dor v'dorah, because Knesset Yisrael, part of the Tzura, is with a manik. That's Moshe Rabbeinu. And if there was a Moshe Rabbeinu by that first generation, that means this dar is also going to have a Moshe Rabbeinu. But the point is, every single generation, every single dar has a Moshe Rabbeinu, because the Knesset Yisrael of every single generation is the same. And that's the oimik of Yom Pakti Upakadati. That's the pshat Zacharti Lachesu Nurayich Ahavas Klu Esayich Lechtech Acharei B'midba Beretz Leizeruah. This has nothing to do with the Shulchan Aruch that governs Al Shilashim V'al Ribayim. This has nothing to do with the
Shulchan Aruch that governs Abba Mezakeh bro, Abba Loi Mezakeh bro. This is a different Indian. You're not coming to Mitzad the Schus. Oh, my father did this. So Memelo Ayat the Schus. Knesset Yisrael is a Chefzah. There's a unit called Knesset Yisrael. And because there's a unit called Knesset Yisrael, so it's for that reason this works. I just want to be Messiah with one Ha'orah. Maybe this is a little bit MS. I'll be the Torah for Rav Tzadik. And that is, everyone knows the Gemara. It's a Masechta Shabbos, Daf Nun Hei Amar Aleph. The Gemara says, Tamus Schus Ofis. Even though we have Schus Ofis, Abba Tamus Schus Ofis. Right? Schus Ofis is a very big deal. There's no such thing anymore as Schus Ofis. Ad Kedekach, the Gemara says, Me'emus Ay Tamus Schus Ofis. Mam, it's like the beginning of Shabbos. Me'emus Ay Tamus Schus Ofis. When did the Schus Ofis cease to exist? Amar Rav, Rav said, Mimois Meshea Ben Be'eri. From the times of Eshea Ben Be'eri. Shmuel Amar Shmuel said, Mimei Chazal. From the times of Chazal. Rav Shuv Ben Levi Amar, Mimei Eliyo. From the times of Eliyo and Navi, there's no more Schus Ofis. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Rabbi Yochanan said, Mimei Chizkiyo. From the times of Chizkiyo. So everyone agrees there's no Schus Ofis. The question is, Me'emus Ay Tamus Schus Ofis. Hesheb in Be'eri, Chazael, Elio, or maybe from the times of Chfeita, Isaac Kash, and all the Rishonim asked, one of the most famous Kashas from the Rishonim in Chas. And that is all the Rishonim asked, Tamus Chus Ofis. So why when we daven Shemayna Esrei, do we talk about, right, V'zoicher Chaz Deyavoy, so maybe Goyle of Nevenayim, what's going on over here? If you have no Chus Ofis, so why are we always talking about the Chus Ofis? So Tais brings two Pshatim, Oim Rabbeinu Tam, the Chus Ofis Tama, Avo Bris Ofis Loi Tama. The schus of the avos was tamar, but the bris. There's two dinim. There's the schus, all the schusim of the avos, and then there's the bris. Hashem was kairos bris with the avos. When we remember the avos, Hashem, you made a covenant with the avos. You said one day, right? One day we're gonna go in. And that's what we're waiting for. And that's what we're talking about. But it's not the schusim. Schus avos. That was we had a good run. A betamus schus avos. The Ri said a different shot. The Ri says, no, it's not mashba that way. The Ri said, I think that the chilek is, are we talking about Rishon, are we talking about Tzadikim? This Gemara, Tamas Chosavis, means Rishon. It's not for the Rishon, it's only for the Tzadikim. But if you look in Darz Zeru and David Ram and the Maral Mipra, all the Rishon, all the Achre, everyone has different shot. Everyone's trying to figure out what the Eitzim might be to this in you. But there was one thing that bothered me terribly. And that is, I understand, Rosh Hashanah, the Aketa, right? What do we have more than Akedas Yitzchak? This is doch the greatest schus was in Yishdan the world. According to Rabbeinu Tam, let's just pick one sheet. According to Rabbeinu Tam, that there's no schus of this, but there's bris of this. So there's no Akedah? So what's the Akedah? Akedah is not a bris. The bris is all the haftachis. So what's the whole schus of that Akedah? What's going on over here? Apostle, how you give the chenetz? I mean, the Rishonim asked the kashas and they, like, how are you going to be miyashid the bris? So here's the vart. Maybe you can say, Louis the Mistafino. And that is, that Parashas Vayeshev begins, Vayeshev Yaakov, Eretz Megure Yaakov. Rashi brings Chazal, Bikesh Yaakov, Vayeshev Beshalva, Kofat Olav Roigzei Shal Yoitzev. And Chazal say, Rashi brings it, Tzadikim, Mevakshem, Vayeshev Beshalva. Oymer HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Loidayim L'Tzadikim, Masha Mesukam, L'Olam Abba, Eloshem, Mevakshem, Vayeshev Beshalva, Afilu Ba'olam Azeh. Freak the brisker of Mar Nagriz, in safe, in Parashas Vayeshev. He says, I understand. Yaakov is about to have Tzoris. And it sounds like Rashi is preempting. The Anas that Yaakov Avinu Bchira Ovis is going to have Tzoris. Why would he have Tzoris? So Rashi, that means because Yaakov Avinu B'shalva, he didn't want the Tzoris, right? We had Rebbe who brought the Tzoris onto himself, right? He said Achai V'Reyai, but he didn't really want the Tzoris. He was Bikesh Leishet B'shalva. But the Eibishter says that with Tzadikim there's a cheshbon. It's not enough what you're going to have in Olam Haba, but what you have to have it good in Olam Hazeh as well. Break the brisk. It's not the first time Yaakov Avinu had Tzoris. He said, let's go through Yaakov Avinu's life up until this point. Esav tried killing him. He just spent 20 years. We went through right all the Netzoitzes and the Klippis that went on during that Kufa. The Beis Lavan. See, he just spent 20 years in Beis Lavan. I don't understand. All of a sudden, now Rashi felt the urge and the need, the necessity to say Bikesh Yaakov Leishet B'Shalva. So the Rav said Haflu Afel. He said that the Ovis HaKadoshim Be'etzim had two dinim. Avram is Noch Gedein Avram. Avram the Tzadik, Yitzchak, Yaakov. But Avram is Oichet Gedein Klal Yisrael. Yitzchak was Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael has its own cheshbon. And sometimes there's the cheshbon of Klal Yisrael. There's the cheshbon of Knesset Yisrael. And if Knesset Yisrael sometimes needs to have Purani, it's Rabbi Siraruni Menu Urai Yoimano Yisrael. It's the faith, it's the mitzvahs of Klal Yisrael, like we talked about, being Ma'ud and Etzot, whatever the Indian is, way above our pay grade. But that's the mitzvahs. And Avram B'Shaita was the embodiment of Klal Yisrael. He's the Tchila L'Geir. As was Yitzchak. As was Yaakov. So said the Peskerov that all the tzaris that Yaakov had up until this point didn't
it was possible that the reason he had these sorrows was machmas has been Klal Yisrael. And because he is the embodiment of Klal Yisrael, that's why all these sorrows are going on. Esav wants to kill Yaakov. Yitzchak is suffering from this. Yaakov is suffering from this. This is a rabbi sururuni min ura yoyman of Yisrael. This is on a Klal Yisrael the Gechesh. But Rashi is not bothered. Why would Yaakov Avinu have tzaris? It's the Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael goes through things. You're not allowed to ask these questions, right? These are things you're not allowed to ask. But once the Mechiras Yosef happened, and the Mechiras Yosef affected who? It affected Yaakov. It didn't affect Yitzchak, because Chazal said Yitzchak knew what was going on. And it didn't affect the Shvatim either, because the Shvatim were the ones that perpetrated. And at that point, Klal Yisrael was really made up of Yitzchak and Yaakov and the Shvatim. So if this was a Klal Yisrael, the Gecheshbon said the Griz, then it should have affected all of them equally. Why did it only affect Yaakov? Since at Vaisnois, these Yisurim are different. And these Tzoris are Protheistic Tzoris on Yaakov. If these are Protheistic Tzoris on Yaakov, how you talking? What's the Pshat? Talk to Rashi. Because Yaakov, Leishav, what comes out is a murder de gezach. When you talk about the others of the tzvei dinim, there's the others nitzad, the others akdoshim, the tzadikim that they were, and then there's the others as the embodiment of Klal Yisrael. Lulei de mistafina, I'll pide the Torah from Reb Tzadik Akoyim Lublin, schusi yogan aleinu amen. That when Avram Avinu took Yitzchak and he was knocking him on the Akedah, who was Klal Yisrael? It was Avram and Yitzchak. He be Yitzchak, he karlu chazara. Klal Yisrael just went on the Akedah. That's what happened. The whole Klal Yisrael. This is a Knesset Yisrael. It has nothing to do with Tamas Chusavis. Tamas Chusavis is the pshat that Avram did chasodim. V'zoyche chas deyovois. All the Meir Degazachin. Mitzad the Abba Mezake bro. Tamas Chusavis. That's something we don't have anymore. Oh, but the Akeda is not outstead. It's Knesset Yisrael. Klal Yisrael gave itself up on the Akeda. We did it. There's nothing. It's not a cheshbon of Abba Mezake bro. This is to be impoked. This is Zacharti Lachesen Urayich. Ahavas Kulei Saich. Like Rav Tzadik says, I remember the chesed that you did. Lechtech, we were never in the Midbar. Yes, we were. Because we're playing for the same team. Knesset Yisrael was in the Midbar. And the chefs of Knesset Yisrael is the same today as it once was. And that's the schus of the Akedah. You know, the Gemara says in Masechtas Rosh Hashanah, Daf Tezayin Amar Aleph. Imru, Amar Rabavo, Rabavo said, Lama toikim b'shoifish alayah. Why do we blow with a shofar shalayil? Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Tiku lufanai b'shofar shalayil, kidei she'eskel lachem akedah Yisra ben Avram. So I'll remember the akedah of Yisra ben Avram. U'mal ani aleichem ki'ilu akadet ha'matzmechem. And I'm going to be machshe, I'm going to look at it as if you yourselves went on the akedah. And this is a medrash pliya. Right, in the world of ki'ilus, this is a real ki'ilu. That mamish, by you blowing shofar with a shofar shalayil, your mamish being nana from the shofar shalayim, Mrs. Lalahotnes netnu. Right, you're having that maisa, it's going to be nechshav ki'ilu akad ben asmachem. How do we come? This door, where were we makriv ourselves on? The Tetzel, we were on the Akedah. Because we're part of Knesset Yisrael, and Knesset Yisrael was on the Akedah. And if Knesset Yisrael was on the Akedah, if we shtel zich tzu to the Akedah, if on some levels we're oiches maisei aviseinu, and that will be enough that it should be nechshav mamish ki'ilu akad ben asmachem, as if we were literally by ourselves on the Akedah. You know, one of the great questions that everyone's pondered is that if the Friya de Gedoyres couldn't bring Mashiach, and the Friya de Gedoyres couldn't bring the Gula, how's this dar going to bring Gula? Right? How's this going to happen? I'll tell you, it's interesting. I heard the shame, one of the Gedoyli Rosh Hashiva, Shebizmanenu, he said that we don't have Gedoyla maybe like we once had. There's no Reb Kiv Eges, no Chassam Sofer. We don't have a Chafetz Chaim. We don't have a Rameya Simcha. He said, of Akla Yisrael we have today like we've never had. This came on the Shkevein as Akla Yisrael. The amount of Bnei Torah, the amount of Yungalite, and even the amount of Balabatim that are showing the Torah mitzvahs. Akla Yisrael like this we've never ever had. Over the Maisa, at the end of the day, the Hergish always says, how's this generation? How are we going to bring Mashiach? But the Hergish are toys. Because this Klal Yisrael is the same Klal Yisrael we've always been. This is the Klal Yisrael that was in the Midbar, Be'eretz Lo Zerua. This is the Klal Yisrael that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Mamish now, Dover Be'itay Ma'a Toivan, Rosh Chodesh Siva. He said, Va'atem Tiyo Bishkula Mikola Amen. This is the Klal Yisrael that the Ebesh said, B'ni B'chayri Yisrael. It's the same Knesset Yisrael. It doesn't change. We are the same exact Knesset Yisrael. And this is the Klal Yisrael that Hashem chose. And this is the Klal Yisrael that Ebesh is going to be goyel. Then Heira B'yameinu Amen.